Hey folks, in this interview, it's all about the motion artist.
This is TWIP.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of This Week in Photo. I'm your host, Frederick Van Johnson. Today on the show, I'm joined by a good friend of mine, Mr. Troy Plota. Troy is a co-founder of a company called Plotaverse, and they make a number of software applications. We're going to talk about some of them. We're going to get a look behind the scenes at what it takes to add animation to a still photo, and otherwise you get the history of the Plotaverse. We're going to talk about the big bang that made the Plotaverse. So, Troy, welcome to This Week in Photo, man. How's it going?
Good. Thank you, Frederick. Great to see you, bud.
Yeah, it's good to see you, man. So this is going to be good. You and I mean, we've been friends for a while, right? I've been talking to you since you started this initiative, and I've kind of been following the evolution of the software up till now. And now you're firing on all cylinders, right? The software's out there. Apparently millions of people have downloaded it and like the software and are using the software, and you're living in Hawaii and you're living the dream. So how did you do this? Like, for the people that may not know about the software, give us this sort of Reader's Digest version of what the software is and who it's for.
Okay. So a little background, photographer of over 30 years, seeing this as a need and a want within the industry, seeing a lot of our budgets from the stills being moved over to video, and knowing after animating with my team in multiple ways, as far as, like, you know, very high-end apps to try to get images to loop, we decided to go ahead and create our own software because we knew that there wasn't really anything out there like this. Yeah. So we produced Plotograph initially. And that's the software that kind of we blew up with, and we won lots of awards, App of the Year last year, and so we keep going forward now with these motion art apps that are very easy to use compared to what you would find on an After Effects or something like that.
Yeah, and that's part of what I want to talk about. I want to talk about what's the positioning of the software, because like you said, there's other apps out there. Even Photoshop has a timeline in it for videos. There's Photoshop, there's After Effects, there's Premiere, obviously. There's other third-party applications out there to do sort of looping type animation. What makes Plotograph different from the other ones?
Well, Sasha and I developed this a few years ago, and we actually came up with the technique to where you take the pixels and you put them in a way that they duplicate without the human eye being able to see where it started or where it began and ended and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we developed this technique. There was a cinemagraph out there. Cinemagraph is where you start with the video. So once again, this is for videographers. You know, it helps the video crews shoot the video and then stop certain parts of the video. So what we did is we reversed it with Plotograph. And we take the still and make it a video. And we create the never-ending loop.
And that's the part that a lot of people, because I've done some presentations where I talk about, I call it time travel for photographers, where I talk about different ways that you can stretch time and compress time and selectively release time, you know, where you have a still photo and only certain parts of it moving. So I demo your software in that talk. And I would say 10 times out of 10, people can't believe what's going on, because you're just to put a fine point on it for the TWIP audience, you're adding animation to a still photograph, whereas a traditional cinemagraph is you're taking video and freezing it and then selectively releasing motion so that parts of it move, right? So like bubbles in a champagne glass or something like that. It was originally, the whole thing was a video. You froze all of it, and now you say, I want the champagne bubbles to move. That's a kind of a traditional cinemagraph. With your software, correct me if I'm wrong, with your software, I can go back to some shots I took back in the 80s, pull one of those in and add, like say it's a beach scene, I can now make those waves move or the clouds crawl over the sky in that scene. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So how does that happen though? How are you creating something from nothing?
You're shifting the pixels and duplicating it in a way that your eye doesn't see it. So basically, Sasha and I hired a really great team in Bulgaria, and we just kind of told them what we wanted and needed. We went back and forth. And I think what sets us apart from other app developers is actually that we're actually photographers. We're actual artists.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, both of you and guys are, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sasha's on the painting side and then, you know, in modeling and stuff. Then I'm on the photography side for so many years. And a lot of the app developers that are out there, they just have an idea for an app. They're like, okay, let's code this or whatever. But they're not really coming from the background of actual photographers doing the craft.
Right.
So that's where I think we have a leg up, where we kind of come in from this. We know kind of what's coming. We know what's needed. We know what clients are wanting. We know what the agencies are looking for. And so we want to develop apps within this realm of motion art, because photographers, gosh, I was about to say, I'm going to be honest with you, seems like we're being left behind a little bit.
Yeah.
Because video is moving so fast and hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a good point. And then the other piece of this is people will look at this as they do other new and emerging technologies or techniques, like, say, HDR or, you know, less so on in terms of like time lapse and those sorts of things. Those are like staples in photography. They're not going away. But things like HDR, if used improperly, remember there was a whole like trend for a couple of years led by our friend Trey Radcliffe, of people doing these like really highly crunchy sort of saturated HDR images, and then it kind of hit a cliff and people were like, oh, no one's doing that anymore. You know, that was a couple of years ago. But now it's sort of coming back as toned back HDR. You know, you could still do it, but it's not at the fad level it was before. Like, what do you say as a co-founder of a company like Plotograph, people that look at this and say, you know what, motion to photos, yeah, it's not real photography. That's a trend, fad thing. It'll be gone in 2 years. It'll be on to the next thing. Like, what do you say to those folks?
Me and the Adobes of the world? who have actually said that?
Oh, have they said that? Oh.
What I hear.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
And actually other companies that are now coming back and going, okay, Plota, you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
We've already kind of had enough time into this. We're a few years down the line. And the difference is this is video. We're actually taking the still. And once again, you have brands. Now, we're the top five apps now of Facebook, recommended photo apps of Facebook. So, you know, it's just growing and growing and growing. And anybody, you know, a few years ago who had any kind of inkling of like, oh, this could, you know, let me see how this goes. Like, you know me, you were the first one. You were like right there at the beginning. You're like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And I see the need, the want for this. So you jumped on the train right away. And then, but you know, the others who, once again, there's that whole thing, like when digital came in and you had all those photographers who were holding on, that film will never be overtaken by digital. You know, nothing could ever duplicate film, all that kind of stuff. And now it's kind of like, you see, that I think we just heard that Canon now is no longer producing film cameras.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. You know? We did hear about that. Yeah.
So, and that's what we're looking at, probably 18 years now down the line. So just, you know, the thing is, you don't know, like HDR actually is really cool. Mm-hmm. And we actually love to animate HDR images because it has a lot of saturation and has a lot of effects there that are pretty cool.
Yeah.
But once again, you know, things go through a different realm of popularity. And right now, anything within a video realm is popular, and it's getting more hits than you would get off of a traditional still image.
Yeah, and like you and I were talking about the other day, what excites me about these kind of technologies, yours included, is the idea of being able to create your own reality, right? And do things that weren't done before, and having more tools to engage people and tell photographic stories with, versus just a still or even a long form video, which is a complete language in and of itself, editing and, you know, all that stuff. Like to have a work of art unfold before you in a looping frame is a whole different genre of art entirely. And I remember last time you and I were talking a while back, we were talking about, I think it was around the time when, I think it was either Instagram or Facebook or maybe both, added looping video to the service, right? Which made these kinds of technologies like, okay, now we can, it's not just going to play and stop, it's going to play and seamlessly loop so people can get the feel, right? How did those changes affect you guys? Did people like, oh, I get it now, okay, I can use it, or is it still sort of trickling in?
We knew that was going to happen. I mean, I didn't know specifically, but I'm like, I bet you there's no way that they're, because what happened was it started with GIFs.
Yeah.
And GIFs are only 256 colors. It's probably like we can export GIFs off of our platform on all of our devices, but it's probably my least way of wanting to show an image because with 256 colors and with a large file, it's just not the best sort of format. Mm-hmm. So now that MP4s are accepted on Facebook and Instagram, it's going to be, they're going to automatically loop under 30 seconds. Now you have this whole world of motion art that now billions of people have access to and can and post. Yeah. So that's what we basically, you know, I kind of like rolled the dice and went all in on this. And I'm glad that I did because this is the future of content in a video form. So it kind of like, it sits right there in between that traditional still and that video that you have to edit, mm-hmm. you know? So, and what's cool about motion art is it's closer to photographers because as photographers, when we start working as directors and DPs, which a lot of us have done to, you know, cause that's where a lot of work is kind of coming up. It's not the same. It's like a different workflow in a lot of different ways to where motion art is way closer to the workflow of what a photographer usually does. So now a lot of times, where a photographer, if they necessarily didn't want to do their own retouching, they'd partner up with a retoucher. Now we have motion graphic artists to partner up with.
Yeah.
And we have these moving images that tell a story in a way that never was possible before. Even like literally even 10 years ago, you can possibly do it, but there was nowhere ever to present it.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, you know,
yeah. And that's the thing, right? It's the screens. Like now we're seeing screens everywhere. We see screens in the mall. We're walking around with a screen in our pocket. I'm sitting in front of the screen right now talking to you. You know, there's screens as we drive down the highway, these video billboards, right? Of that are, I would guess, potentially perfect locations for a photograph or these types of motion video. Yeah. And that's interesting. So, what I'm going to do, Troy, is I want to This Week in Photo is primarily an audio podcast, and we do video as well. So I want to continue the interview and get. I have a couple more questions to ask you. You know, about just sort of the software and the positioning of these works and how photographers can use them to sort of stand out from the crowd and get noticed. And then at the end of this interview, we'll do a demo. And that,
cool.
And then I will cut that demo off for the audio, you know, obviously, because people can't see what you're doing. But then I'll, you know, folks that are watching or listening to this, I direct you back to thisweekinphoto.com to see the demo that Troy's going to do at the end of this interview. So I think we get the best of both worlds that way. Perfect. So then that said, people that are looking at adding this type of technology to their toolkit, right? Here's a better way to position it. Right now, commercial photographer making good money, shooting still shots, has made a name for him or herself, and they're rocking it. They know that this could add value to their brand or to the suite of services that they offer clients. How should they offer it? Should they go in and say, hey, you know, we've been working together for years, Nike, and here's a shot that you wanted of this latest shoe, but here's something extra I did. Take a look at it and tell me if you like it. Or should it be presented up front? Like, I've now added photograph and motion art technology to my suite of offerings. Do you want to buy this too? You know, how would you advise those folks?
That's great. There was a gentleman that a photographer actually that we were working with. This was almost like even about a year and a half ago, and so we were saying, hey, use the software, check it out, and he was really intrigued by it. But it took him a couple months, and when he first posted his first photograph on Instagram, within 5 minutes he landed a job shooting a resort down in the Keys.
Wow.
And the art director called him, hadn't talked to the art director in a couple of years. Like, oh my gosh, you know, what you just posted, we're looking to do something like this. You know how to do it? Because we have a resort shoot that we want to shoot down in the Keys. I really love your work. I forgot about you, whatever. Can you do this if I bring you on? Long story short, he got the job. He animated himself. We did a little training with him. This was a while ago, you know. But so that's music to my ears. I love hearing that photographers are using this to monetize their businesses, you know. Yeah. So that's like a perfect example there.
Yeah, and if they're using it, but should they lead with it? Like should they if
totally.
You know, if I learned how to do, you know, use the software well, and now, you know, should I? And if I do lead with it, how do I show it? Just on my website and say, hey, now I can do this type of work. And what would your recommendation be?
Yeah, on the website, it's a great place. Also on Plotiverse, we've set up Plotiverse actually to be able to somebody actually use Plotiverse as their website, mm-hmm. because it's mm-hmm. not like Instagram where it's so Instagram loads up video at standard definition on the feed. Mm-hmm. So if you're showing anything standard definition, you're on your phone, it's like this big. This drives me crazy.
Yeah,
you know. But what we did with Plotiverse, it works on mobile, tablet, and desktop. So when you have your feed, we call it our profile, you know, profile.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah, nice.
So, and this is really a way to, you know, show your work. And if you're going to clients and you're saying, hey, check out what we have, there's two things that we're working on with Plotiverse right now is we're giving a photographer and artist a way of presenting their images large, like on a large screen or however you want to present it, like you would do with your website. But also, this is the place we're almost up to 500,000 motion art loops uploaded now to Plotiverse.
Wow.
So what we're doing is we're calling the agencies and the brands. We're saying, hey, guys, check out Plotiverse. If you want some great ideas for your next campaign, this is the best motion art in the world. So now the photographer can go in and either find an animator, like our top animators or ambassadors of Plotiverse, and say, hey, you want to partner up on this job? Or they could take it in themselves if they're interested, whether you know they want to train their assistants or their digital tech or retouchers on how to use the software. Maybe they already are, keeping it in-house. That's always like a preference. That's how, one thing I always wanted to do as a company is keep everything in house as much as possible.
Yeah. So, are you seeing any particular genres? Yeah, I know you see all the images come across your desk. Are you seeing any particular genres more represented than others? Like, you know, commercial or street or landscape or wedding photographers starting to use the software? What are you seeing in terms of trends?
All of the above, and there are trends that are coming out with different apps. Like right now, we're blowing up in China. Like I think we're over 4 million downloads now. We have 4 million people on all of our platforms between Android, iOS, and desktop. But on social, we just hit our millionth person on social last weekend. But trend-wise, it's kind of all of the above. And adding video, whether it's a still overlay or video overlay, and then audio on top of it, and creating this whole entire, as we say, create your universe or create your own reality. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is a way that you have so many more tools now that we're actually in pixels. We're delivering, you know, our files in pixels instead of print, where it was 2D and we had all these limitations. Now, like, the limitations are no longer there, and this is just a new realm that you're able to monetize and kind of bring your photography to the next level.
Yeah. Are you seeing high-end commercial photographers use the softwares and mostly amateurs and beginners?
A lot of amateurs, a lot of beginners. The pros don't want the secret out. We have a lot of pros, a lot of resort. Like, honestly, that's what's happening. It's it's like, I'll see people post, you know, like, wow, how'd you do this? And it's magic.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you. Sorry. I can't.
Right. Which is understandable. I understand that. So it's kind of a combination. So the pros who get it and who are monetizing with it, they're like, eh, it's my little secret.
So. I mean, I would do the same thing. That's cool. So let's switch gears a little bit before we jump into the demo and just talk about, you know, the best ways to use the software, right? So this is a good segue into the actual demo, which, again, if you're listening to this, head over to thisweekinphoto.com and search for Plotiverse or Troy Plota, whatever, you'll find it, or just Plota and you'll find it. But, you know, in terms of just best practices, somebody's listening to this, they're going to download it on their phone, you know, while they're sitting in traffic, you know, in Bay Area traffic, like, you know, let me go grab this. Take me through the process of, you know, where do I get it? How do I get it? And what do I do first with it once I get the software into my hands?
Okay. So I'm going to go advanced a little bit here right off the bat.
Yeah.
Okay. And it depends on where you're going to post it. So if you're posting on social media that you know the majority of the people who are going to see it are on a mobile device, go fast. Go fast and hard because you have to get their attention because you have a smaller image that you're working with, right? So sometimes a lot of people at the very beginning, they want to do these subtle clouds. They want to do the subtle overlay or whatever it might be. And then they're finding, you know, oh, I'm not really seeing it so much. So if you plan on posting it or showing it where it's going to be on a small device, go fast with your animation. Go faster than you normally would.
Okay.
But if you know that you're going to do this, like, say, for a resort for the header of their website, which has been done many times. Actually, there's a lot of uses for that. Mm-hmm. Header of the website.
Or Facebook,
you know,
it's going to be, right?
or Facebook, yeah, you could slow it down. You could have that nice, subtle feel because you know it's going to be viewed large. Mm-hmm. Or even if it's a billboard or something like that, you can go subtle with it. So use the speed accordingly and animate accordingly to where you know it's going to be seen.
Interesting.
That's for starters.
So that's a good rule of thumb then. So the smaller the final image, the more kinetic or fast the animation should be. The larger, the more subtle and elegant the image,
totally.
The animation should be. Okay, cool.
Totally.
Awesome. All right, so I wanted to jump into that demo. For people that want to go grab it and explore more and maybe see some examples of animated photos to sort of whet their appetite and their creativity, what's a good place for them to go?
On the App Store, iOS, just search Plotiverse. Same thing with the Play Store. Search Plotiverse. And then on desktop or computer for the pros, plotiverseapps.com.
All right, Troy Plota, thanks a lot for this part one of the interview, and we'll see you next time, man. Peace.
This is Twit.